This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Right now, there is a report, and I know we've heard this as a suggestion, but there is one newspaper, Detroit Free Press, reporting that the Big Ten has voted 12-2 to not have a season, not have a college season. That's the first of the Power Five. We'll see what the rest of them decide to do. Paul Feinbaum is the man to talk to about these things. So that's why we reach out to him and ask him to join us about it, and he does right now. And Paul, thanks for giving us some time. I begin almost just stepping back and saying, I'm sure you're not surprised by this, but my feeling right away, and we've talked to you before about it, and that's why I feel this way, is this almost feels like it has nothing to do with the pandemic and more to do with concerns that they have taken so much negative press about pushing through and playing. And knowing that how important the players are to the bottom line tells me that there is an imbalance now that has been revealed between a scholarship and playing football to prop up a lot of these programs.
Well, there's no question. There was a call about a week and a half ago in the SEC on that it was a players, administrators, and the commissioner, and an administrator at one of the schools essentially told one of the players upon that being asked a question, why are you bringing students back during this pandemic? And the administrator said the only reason we're bringing students back is so we can have football. I don't mean to be overly cynical about college football. I've covered it my entire life, but it's all caught up. It's a fraudulent process run by really a corrupt organization called the NCAA. That has no concern whatsoever about anything other than making billions of dollars. And it's just been a breakdown of the system. And I think the Big Ten, with a new commissioner, has decided, you know what, we're going to show a little bit of leadership here. We know this is not practical. And I've heard a lot of people say today, well, you know, it could be very dangerous. It's already been dangerous. This isn't the NBA where, you know, $200 million buys you a airtight bubble. We have a situation where on various campuses, Clemson, LSU, Alabama, just take your pick, there have already been 30, 40, 50 infections of COVID. And, yeah, I know everyone says big deal, young people, who cares? Well, a report came out over the weekend that it could have an effect, especially it's a heart inflammation called myocarditis. And all of a sudden, the MAC said, the Mid-American Conference, we're not playing. Well, and then the next thing you know, the Big Ten's found religion, and probably by the end of the week, so will a few others.
That's interesting. So you expect there won't be any college football then this season? That's what you sound like.
I don't think so, no. And I mean, it's a game right now. The Big Ten and then the Pac-12 will go next. And I'm having friends in the South tell me right now the SEC and the ACC are aligned now. How can you have two or three conferences play big-time college football and everyone else is home? I mean, you tell me the optics of that. They may try it. And that was really what the game was all along. Can we possibly get to September? We'll have a lot to deal with, but let's get there. And some of this is political. Depends on where you are. Depends on the state. The governor of Pennsylvania the other day said we shouldn't have sports in our state. The governor of Florida basically said today, hey, we need to have college football. So it's like watching the presidential election play out in the parlance of college sports.
You also have a senator from Nebraska who the reports are is one of the schools that voted to play, right? I think it was Iowa and Nebraska are the two schools I've seen reported. I don't know if you've heard the same. That want to play, and you have a senator now saying we have to play college football. I know we keep getting that response, of course, and it's never for any reason other than because this is America or any of that kind of stuff. Jim Harbaugh just put out a statement, and I don't know if you've seen it because I know you were just waiting on hold, but in it he outlines everything that they've done right at Michigan to keep this under control, and even though his school voted to not play, he spoke pretty, not defiantly, but seemed pretty strong about how we can handle this and that we have proven it because we have zero positives since people have come in. Our last, I think it was 300 tests have been zero. And so therefore he feels like we can do this if we just follow protocols.
And I have no problem with any of that. But everyone, here's the problem. Everyone has a different constituency. You have Harbaugh's playing to his team. He's playing to future recruits. He knows it's over. You have the president of the university, who, by the way, is an infectious disease doctor. He said a couple of months ago, the president of Michigan, that if we don't have college students on campus, we're not having football. Another Big Ten president at Michigan State is an immunologist. So these are people that understand it better than, honestly, Jim Harbaugh. So you're going to see a lot of posturing today. And, it's interesting that a week ago, this players movement began out in the West Coast. The Pac-12 players said, we want some demands. And it worked its way across the country. And everyone's tweeting. Trevor Lawrence, the Clemson All-American, is leading the parade. But in the end, that's not going to matter. I think the biggest issue is not only a safety issue, it's a liability issue. Can you really afford to have college football? And what I mean by that is, what happens if somebody dies? We saw this with the CTE issue in the NFL. But the NFL can afford to fight. College athletics can't. Every university is its own fiefdom. And, you think Rutgers wants to deal with a multi-billion-dollar lawsuit? No, they don't. And also in the Big Ten, why are they first? I think 6 of the 14 schools have already shut down, so it's hit them harder. And they've been more practical. Clemson had 38 cases at one time. Yeah. They didn't even shut down voluntary workouts.
Yeah, and the suggestion there was some of them were purposely trying to get it, right? I know that was something going on at Rutgers as well.
Yeah, I believe that's true. I mean, I've talked to people in various schools who said, if we can get everybody infected, we have a competitive advantage once the season starts.
I almost feel like it's a microcosm of the country right now, but that's another topic altogether. Something you did mention, though, just a few minutes ago, and we're talking with Paul Feinbaum, is you said how the SEC and ACC, so the Southern conferences, are still sort of maybe aligned, that you're hearing that they still feel like they can play, and how could they possibly do it? Last time we talked, I believe it was the last time, you did suggest that at some point you could see these conferences breaking away from the NCAA and forming their own league or however you would put it, association. Is this something that might be accelerated as a result? They might say, you just said, how can you afford to play? We know some of these schools can't afford not to play.
Yeah, I mean, it's a catch-22. And I do think the NCAA, as we know it, is probably on its last leg, because there is no leadership. The president, Mark Emmert, has not really said anything because he works for the college commissioners. And, we all love our jobs, and he loves his in particular because he makes $3 million a year to basically do nothing. And, I'll take that gig right now.
Yeah.
But ultimately what you said a minute ago is the truest statement. This is a microcosm of the country. It's a totally screwed up country right now. And I had an epidemiologist tell me the other day, if we could just shut everything down for 4 weeks, we could have college football. We wouldn't have it. We wouldn't have to worry about the NFL. We wouldn't be having these issues in Major League Baseball. But have you seen any signs of the country shutting down?
No. No, and it's the same defiance that you hear from, whether it's, Dabo Swinney saying, we storm Normandy, we make iPhones, we can handle this, punch it right in the face is one of the other quotes that I absolutely shook my head when I heard that one. It's college coach speak. We all know this is what you do. You get your players riled up. They want to run through a brick wall, but, not sure I want to run through a wall if it's infected with, COVID-19, to be honest with you. But still, it's in such an interesting place because of what you said, though, how it's already a house of cards, this whole college sports thing as it is. And to understand, though, I cannot believe how much these, especially the football programs, mean to not the athletic departments, but the entire structure of the school itself. And then you think about the towns and the people that come in on a Friday night and then all day Saturday for these games. We all know about the media money. We certainly know about the gambling money that's to be lost now. These are hundreds of games that people won't be gambling on for the rest of the season. There's so much at stake here that it's just, I can't fathom it, right? I can't fathom that they don't have an idea. So is it even remotely possible that you look at what the NBA is doing, what the NHL is doing in bubbles, and just say, why can't you just do that? In some way, can you not do that? Because I think that's what Harbaugh was trying to suggest in his statement.
Yeah, and it's too late for that now.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, the three academies in Notre Dame all had a bubble and it worked, but yeah, there are the big schools can afford it, but yeah, the schools in the middle, in the, you know, the Miami of Ohio, Bowling Green, I mean, these are good football programs. They couldn't afford it, and that's really what did Connecticut in the other day. Here's another thing that scares college administrators to death. The second, let's say the season is canceled at the end of the week, you know, over on Park Avenue, the NFL is already plotting to move games. They're going to play on Saturday night in prime time because there won't be anything. I mean, they may even move in other slots because, I mean, they already play Thursday night because by the time we get to the middle of October, baseball will be in its final days. It may already have been. The NBA is over. There's nothing left. So the NFL is going to own the television viewer like it's never done before. Right. And by the way, they already do. They may even add Saturday afternoon, a late window, a game that starts at 3:30.
I'm telling you, you're literally reiterating what I said in the open. I feel like for the NFL, you could take this now and turn it into a 5-day weekend, so to speak, where you go from Thursday to Monday. And you could play, you could even do double headers on most of these. And I also thought that they could turn it into a bubble situation because you do Thursday, Saturday in one place and Friday, you know, Friday, Sunday in another, four locations regionally, and have teams just fly in and out and stay in a controlled environment. But as you said, it's too late for a lot of things. And I imagine for the NFL, you'd have to have something like this already mapped out before you can even think to unveil it. But there is opportunity there for the pro game. But how much, how much are they ready for it is the question.
Yeah, I mean, the NFL has been surprisingly quiet about a lot of this because, MLB is just has dominated the news in terms of bad news. So,
yeah, but not to do it, right?
That won't matter, though. I mean, because I just don't. I mean, this whole thing is a house of cards, as you said. And the next day or two will be fascinating because I just don't think. If you're the last two commissioners standing, how do you explain why it's why do you think it's okay when nobody else does? I mean, it's virtually impossible for that game to go on very long.
All right, last thing for you, Paul, and thanks for the time. I know it's a busy day for you. The possibility of a spring football season, which I know has been kicked around by a lot of people.
It's possible in some places. I think the Ivy League can get away with it. The MAC can get away with it. The Patriot. But I have a hard time believing the Big Ten and the SEC and the other Power Five are going to play in the spring. Now, the only thing the next question I don't have the answer to, what happens to college basketball? The season usually begins in November. It won't begin early, but I mean, if they can get college basketball started by January, the only thing that matters in college basketball is March Madness.
Yep.
It's a 3-week billion-dollar enterprise. So that's going to be going on right in the middle of the spring league. I promise you, I love college football, but on the second weekend of the tournament, I'm watching that over some meaningless Big Ten game between Rutgers and Maryland.
Well, that part is true, and all you have to do with college basketball is eliminate all the meaningless preseason tournaments and stuff anyway. I mean, there's a lot of useless games that go on in November. No offense to the ESPN schedule, of course, but that you really can't get too excited about until maybe you get to the holiday season and go forward. They could get away with it. I already know that my son plays hockey, so I know that the hockey season probably won't see the light of day until 2021 if they get to play that. So I imagine the winter sports that way. But if this is, and I know I said last one, but because there's so much to this, recruiting. Players who have 1 year left of eligibility, players who redshirt this year, like all that stuff to me, there's so much that they have to then unpack and figure out and rule on before you even think about playing next fall. I should even think in the summer. Because how many kids, well, do I go to the NFL now? I'm not going to be a high draft pick, but if I stay one more year, I could be a higher draft pick. But you have that. You have a player who accepted a scholarship, wants to come in next fall. But now you've got a guy that, does he stay? Do I lose my year of eligibility because we didn't play this year? you know, you only have so many scholarships to give out. You've got tough decisions to make now. There's so much more to this if you don't have a season, correct?
Yeah, and there hasn't been a lot of thought to it. Every time I ask an administrator or an official what happens if, they all say the same thing. We don't want to think about it. Just like people ask me. I have a national college football show every day. What are you going to talk about on September 1st if there's no college football season? I really don't want to think about that either.
We've been doing that for 4 months here.
but the good part is what we've been doing is we've been leading toward a season. And now college football, if it dies, we're still 13 months away from the first game. That is forever.
It's a scary thought, but it's certainly something that we've got to keep our eyes on. And, Paul, again, thanks for the time today and obviously for the insight. Great to talk to you.
Alan, my pleasure. Talk soon.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.